Give the Lord a good hand of praise. Why don't you do it tonight? Hallelujah. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? I got to say something before I preach. Sister Bonnie and Brother Tony and Sister Shauna and Sister Brooke. Didn't y'all know that the Lord doesn't heal anymore? That's what somebody told me last night. Said God wasn't a healer. I had a gentleman that I've done business with a few times IM me last night. Now, some of you may not know what that means. Just look over to somebody younger than you and ask them what that means. And he IM'd me. So, figure it out. And he said, my little girl's got a temperature of 104. And he said, I thought, he said, would you pray for her? I just read it real fast, and I just assumed that's what he said. I said, sure, we'll stop. So I stopped, and I got my wife, and we got down, and we prayed for his little girl. And he was typing a few things there, and I come back in, and I typed. I said, we just prayed for her. And I said, God's a healer. And he, Brother Tony, he IM'd me back, and he said, no. I don't believe God's a healer. I just wanted you to agree with me that the Tylenol would get the temperature down. I thought to myself, hallelujah. So I just want to let you four or five here know that you talked tonight about God healing you. Just so you, in case you didn't know, God's not in the healing business anymore. I thought somebody was going to fight me on that. Is God in the healing business? Has he touched you? Has he healed you? Has he done anything for you tonight? My Lord have mercy. I was so dumbfounded. I just looked over at my wife and I said, he said, I just believe in the power of agreement. I looked at her and I said, what's that mean? I know the Bible said if you two or three agree together in my name, there's power in the name of Jesus. If he's ever done anything for you, why don't you give him another hand of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Come on. The devil again, Sister Shauna. He's a liar. He's a liar. Hallelujah. Well, glory. I'm not going to sing. Don't worry. Hallelujah. My goodness gracious. That's not even what I'm going to preach about, but I just felt like getting that off my chest. Hallelujah. He's a healer. I've seen him do so much. I've got a little brother that testified in this pulpit, actually in the old building, that visited with us a few years ago. When he was 3 years old, God healed him of cancer. Sister Shauna, they opened him up and shut him up and said, there's no hope. But my mother said, I believe God's a healer, and the church prayed, and he was healed. He has never been back to the doctor for anything since that day, and he's 30 years old. Let me tell you something. God is still a healer. And Sister Bonnie, even if he don't heal you, he's still a healer. Even if he don't touch my body, he's still a healer. Even if he doesn't do it, my Lord have mercy. I believe he can. Hallelujah. Lord, get your Bibles and let's preach. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. It's good to be here tonight again in Birmingham. Hallelujah. It's good to see Brother Charles Dodd. It's been a while. Hallelujah. Amen. And who was that other family? The Tisdales. Good to see them tonight. It's been a while since I've seen them. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's preach and see what happens. How about that? Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to give you something God gave me the other night. And hallelujah. We're going to read a couple of verses here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. How many appreciate your pastor tonight? How many's going to be glad when he comes back? So you don't have to have these characters from Greenboroville, Town, Bumblybird, whatever. Amen. I appreciate this church. My Lord, have mercy. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance." Somebody say, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." What a testimony. Verse number 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want to read verse number 1 again. "Now faith is the substance." Amen. Would you lift your hands and love him tonight? Give him praise for the word of God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy tonight. We praise you, Jesus. Let your word go forth, God. Let it do a work in this house. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Clap your hands one more time and give him praise before you're seated tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Lindsay. Reposo. Hallelujah. Amen. One of the major issues that our country was founded upon was the issue of freedom. And one of the reasons, or one of the main reasons, that our early forefathers came from England, crossed the ocean to find a new country or a new place, was for the freedom to worship God like they wanted to. So they wouldn't have to be under the hand of the Church of England and do what the state church said to do. And freedom is, in the United States, is protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution. Freedom, we hear the terms freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, or freedom of peaceful assembly. The actual First Amendment reads like this: "Congress shall make no law respecting unestablishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress or a grievance. And freedom is a topic that is talked about a lot in our world. You can pick up a newspaper, you can listen to a talk show. Everybody has their definition of what freedom is. And through the years, issues have arisen that have challenged this First Amendment right of freedom. Scholars and legal minds have debated it for years, and they've tried to defend or define what freedom really means. And there have been court challenges, and some have been constructive, and some have been destructive. And I'm not really here to give a lesson on freedom in America, but I wanted to tell you that. Some have said, do we really live in a country where speech is truly free? Now, I've heard the pros and cons on both sides of the issue, having listened to a lot of talk radio in my travels. I've heard it from one end to the other. Somebody said this one time, freedom means responsibility. Somebody say that. Freedom means responsibility. I also heard this one time, your freedom stops where my nose begins. Let that sink in a minute. But I'm not here to give you a lesson on freedom of the press. I'm not here to talk about freedom of speech. And I'm not here to talk about freedom of assembly. But I do want to say this before I go any further. You take all the problems that you see in America and you look at everything that's wrong. I am still proud to be an American. I'm still proud to live in a country where we can walk into the house of God like we have tonight, and to be able to worship God and praise God and live for God like we see fit, like we see the Word of God and how we see the Word of God today. I'm thankful for people like Brother Charles that'll go across the country, across the world, and defend my freedom tonight. Aren't you happy to be free? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody clap your hands. Give him praise. I'm happy to be free. I'm not going to say his name tonight, Brother Charles, but there was a famous politician just a few days ago that said this: the only body that will join the military are those that can't make it in society. And you know, if I said his name, you'd probably say amen. And had anybody said it but him, they'd be raking him over the coals about it. But let me tell you something. I'm thankful that somebody says yes to the call of the country, that says, yes, I'll defend my country. Amen. I'm proud to be an American tonight. Somebody paid the price for my freedom. Somebody paid the price so that I can be free tonight. It didn't come easy. I've got some DVDs. I believe you let me borrow. I let you borrow something about World War II and about the people that died, and just watching that and letting it sink in, and how they were just falling like flies, and the men, the young men that gave their life. I'm happy to live in a country where I'm free tonight. But I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to preach about that tonight. But this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the freedom of faith. Somebody say that. The freedom of faith. Some may say, because of my decision to live for God, that I'm in bondage. Somebody may say, because of my decision to do what I do and live the way I live and act the way I act and be the way I am, that I am old-fashioned, that they'll tell me nobody lives that way anymore. Nobody acts that way anymore. Nobody dresses that way anymore. But let me tell you something tonight. With freedom comes great responsibility tonight. Hallelujah. I've actually had people tell me, you need to expand your horizons. You need to get out of the dark ages. You need to change a little bit. You need to get out of bondage, they say. They'll tell me, you know, I was in bondage one day just like you were, but I saw the light, and now I can do anything that I want to do, and God doesn't care. But He does care. I'm talking about freedom of faith tonight. They'll tell me, you're missing out on so much. I said, really? What am I missing out on? Misery? Huh? Am I missing out on misery? Am I missing out on depression? Am I missing out on sorrow? Am I missing out on one headache after another? Or one hardship after another? Or one failed relationship after another? Am I missing out on waking up in the morning not knowing who's beside me? Or where I was or how I got here, is that what I'm missing out on? Am I missing out on hell? If that's what you're talking about, then yes, I'm missing out on hell, Brother Cliff. And let me tell you something. If you happen to go there, why don't you tell hell I'm not coming? Why don't you tell them I'm not going to be there? Tell them I'm not going to show up. Tell them they can take my name off of his wall because I'm not coming. I'm determined to understand that when I have the freedom of faith, it's great responsibility. There's something involved, hallelujah, in faith. I have an appointment one day to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have an appointment, Brother Dawson, to take a tour of my new mansion. Hallelujah. I've got an appointment to walk down the streets of gold. Hallelujah. To walk past the crystal river. Amen. To walk past the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. And I don't want to miss my appointment. I want to be there. I want to be there. Somebody say, I want to be there. I'm talking about true freedom tonight. I don't want to exercise so much my freedom of speech. But I want to exercise my freedom of faith. I am free to do anything that I want to do. I am. I am free to do anything that I want to do. But tonight I choose Jesus. Tonight I choose to be a Christian. Brother John, God's not a man with a hammer in his hand over my head saying, all right, boy, you've got to do it like this or else. No, God's not that way. God's a gentleman. God's not going to make you do anything. But let me tell you, if you've got a desire to live for God, He'll move heaven and hell so that you can be what He wants you to be. Hallelujah. If you want to exercise your freedom of faith, He'll make a way for you to do that, for that to happen in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Lift your hands and love Him. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am free to have life and have it more abundantly. I am free to enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. I am free to stay faithful to God and to the cause of God. I'm free to live holy, to dress holy, to act holy, to talk holy, to be holy. It's my choice. I choose to do that tonight. It's called freedom of faith. I am free to be faithful to church because Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Somebody say exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I need you. We need one another. We need to exhort one another. We are not an island to ourselves. We can't go out by ourselves and live on our own. We need each other tonight. And the Bible tells me not to forsake the assembling of myself together with you, because I get exhortation and I get uplifting when I meet with you and worship with you and praise God with you. I am free to worship God when I enter the house of God. That's why we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. I am free to walk in and leave my trouble outside the door. I'm free to walk in and understand, amen, that God's a healer and God's a provider and God's able to do anything. Hallelujah. That's freedom of faith tonight. I am free to clap my hands when I walk into the house of God. I'm free to leap for joy when I'm in the house of God. I'm free to run the aisles when I'm in the house of God. I'm free to shout with a voice of triumph when I enter into the house of God. I'm free to praise Him in a dance when I enter into the house of God. Remember, freedom. With freedom comes great responsibility. Freedom requires responsibility. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. Somebody say, I'm free indeed. The world doesn't give me my freedom. Although I'm happy to be living in America, America doesn't give me my freedom. There are people living in America that are in bondage, that are held captive. Hallelujah. But my freedom comes from God. True freedom is exercising my faith in God. Brother Randy, put Hebrews 11 and 1 back up if you don't mind. The Bible said, now faith is the substance. Somebody say substance. Faith is substance. Somebody say that. Faith is substance. I looked up the word substance. I even went back to the original. And I'm going to sound really intelligent right here, so I'm just going to let you know. Okay. The transliterated word for substance is, now I practice this, okay? Because on my computer, you could hit the button, it'll tell you how to say it. And I just kept hitting it, playing over and over and over and over and over. So you go home and check me out, okay? I don't know if I'm going to get it right. But this was the transliterated word from whatever to whatever, Hebrew to Greek or whatever it is. I'm supposed to be sounding intelligent. But this was it. Okay, here we go. Hypostasis. Whew. Boy, I think I did it. Brother Harold, I practiced that so many times. I thought, I want to do this right. I don't want to sound like somebody from the backwoods of nowhere. But the word is hypostasis. And it's got hoop in it. I don't know if it had anything to do with basketball. I don't know. But this is what it meant. It meant foundation or substructure. That which is firm, actual existence, real, Steadfastness of mind. And what was that last word? I turned it too quick. Firmness. I don't have a good memory. You know that. Steadfastness of mind and firmness. In other words, substance. Faith is substance. So that let me know that faith is something tangible. Does that make sense? Faith is something that you can touch. Paul said, now faith is the substance. It's the walking with God that Abraham had. It's the waiting on God that Sarah had. It's the building of the ark that Noah had. It's the stretching forth of the rod that Moses had. It's the building of the altar and adding the water to make a fire from heaven that Elijah had. It's the speaking to the dry bones that Ezekiel had. Come on. It's the fish and the loaves that the lad had that he gave the disciples that fed the 5,000. It's the stepping out onto the waves that Peter had. It's substance. It's Peter and John reaching down to the man at the gate beautiful and saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. It's something you can touch, something that you can feel, something that's real. It's substance. It's something. It's working for God. It's giving. It's faith. I'm talking about freedom. You want to have freedom tonight? I'm telling you how to do it. Freedom of faith. It's inviting somebody to church. It's teaching a Bible study. It's giving your testimony. It's praying. It's doing something God wants you to do. It's giving something God wants you to give. It's going somewhere God wants you to go. It's believing something God wants you to believe. It's tangible. It's touchable. It's not nothing. It's something tonight. Faith. Freedom of faith. Faith is something. Faith is doing. Somebody say, faith is doing. Freedom of faith is doing something in the kingdom. Noah had to build an ark. David had to face the giant. I'm going to tell you about him in just a minute. Faith is work. Faith, you want freedom? It's work. You want faith? It's effort. It's getting involved. Faith is not passive. It is active. This kind of faith will cause you to stand up for what's right, even when it's not popular. Even when it's not popular. When you lose your freedom, you lose everything. When you lose your freedom, you lose everything. When you quit standing, you just quit. I found this the other day, Brother Randy. This is what happens when you stand. When you stand firm. What is faith? It's substance. It's firmness. It's standing. You stay true and never doubt. Even when the odds are against you. Even when it looks impossible. Even when it looks like it's not going to happen, Brother Joe. I almost forgot your name. My Lord have mercy. Been gone too long. Even when it looks impossible, stand. The Bible said when you've done all to stand, stand therefore. When it looks like it's over, when it looks like it's done, when it looks like you're at the end of your rope, stand. Exercise that freedom of faith. Somebody say amen. Amen. David could have stood behind the hills and the mountains when he got to the battle that day. He could have looked at the giant and said, and tucked tail and ran and hid with everybody else. But he didn't. Faith caused him to stand up. And this is what he said. Who is? He just got righteous indignation and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defy the armies of God? And then he said these words, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? He walked in. He didn't know nothing about battle. He didn't know how to put an armor on. He didn't know how to swing a sword. He didn't know all the things that they had learned in battle, Brother Charles. But when he walked on that battlefield and he saw some uncircumcised idiot defying the kingdom of God and the people of God, he stood up and he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Why? And they looked at him and said, go back and play with the sheep, you know. You just wanted to come see what it was all about. Freedom of faith requires action. Somebody say action. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, oh man, I feel the Holy Ghost. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them nothing. Those things which are needful, what doth it profit? Then he said, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. Here's another translation. I should have given this to you, Brother Randy. Sorry, but here's what another translation said, worded it this way. In verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food, and if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, my brother, keep warm and be fed, but you do nothing to help him. He said, what good is it? What kind of faith? What good is that going to do him? Okay. Then he said, in the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Another example for verse 18 was this. I can hardly hear one of you agreeing by saying, sounds good. You take care of the faith department. I'll handle the works department. And then it said, not so fast. You can do no more show me your works apart from your faith than I can show you my faith apart from my works. Faith and works, works and faith fit together hand in glove. How many times have we heard our pastor say, love is not what you, but it's what you. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, faith is not what you say. Faith is what you do. Amen. Somebody say amen. Faith is what you do. I'm talking about freedom of faith tonight. James in verse 19 of that same chapter said, thou believest there is one God? You're not doing very well because the devils believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? What James is really saying is, without action, without works, all you are is talk. Come on. He's saying you can stand there all day, David. You can stand there all day and believe God's going to kill that giant. But unless you step out into the battlefield and fight the giant, your faith is dead. Does that make sense tonight? If all you do is talk, 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 this is what God's going to do. This is what's going to happen. But I never do anything. I never put substance to what I say. My faith is dead. We were at Bible study last night, and they have this little bitty dog. If you're not careful, you'll miss him. Except for the yip, 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 yip. I mean, you can hear him when you get out of the car. Yip, 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 yip. And if you go, and he's running the other direction. Little bitty dog. I mean, Brother Tony, I could just go, took care of him. I mean, Brother Peter, he's all talk. He couldn't do nothing if he wanted to. You ever met anybody like that? Don't answer that. That sounds pretty good. But then the gentleman took us to the back porch, Brother Dawson. He said, I'm going to show you my new dog. I'm going to show you my new dog. I said, really? What'd you get? Well, let me show you. So he walks back to the back porch, and this, well, I could say little, but he wasn't too little. But he was 7 weeks old, just 7 weeks old. I think he called him an American Bulldog. I think I got that right. Is there such a thing called American Bulldog? Is that a species of bulldog? 7 weeks old, Brother Cliff. And that dude was about four times the size of that little pipsqueak of a dog. His paws already looked like they was about as big as my hand. He was just, you know, you could pick him up. He wasn't going to hurt anything. And he told me, he said, the little dog on the inside, he don't like this dog. I said, really? Yeah, they don't get along. Really? Let's just wait a few months. When Mr. American Bulldog grows up and he meets little Pipsqueak, we'll see what happens. He told me, he said, that bulldog could just snap that little dog's head off, just like that. Faith has to have action. Faith has to be more than just talk. It has to have action. Do you want to be successful in God tonight? Do you want to be successful in the kingdom of God tonight? Freedom of faith, or the works of faith, or the vehicle that the miraculous rides on. Faith is finding something to do and doing it with all of your heart. It's not hard to find the will of God. It's really not. I was always told this growing up, and it stuck with me throughout the years, and it has helped me in my walk with God. And it was simply, just bloom where you're planted. Well, you know, I don't want to be planted here in this garden. I don't want to be over on the back side of the flower bed. I want to be here. And I want to do this. And if I can't do this, then I don't want to do anything. And you're constantly scrambling to find the will of God in your life. Just bloom where you're planted. Be faithful in what you know to do, and God will make room for you in other areas. David said, is there not a cause? He was more than a yapping dog. He could have walked on that battlefield and, you know, all those words were tough that he was saying. It was, you know, sounds good, David. What you going to do about it? It wasn't about David, Brother Cliff. You said it tonight. I was talking to my kids the other day. They were talking, Angie was talking about the little stones that he picked up. And I said, baby, it wasn't the stones. It wasn't David's intellect. It wasn't his smarts. It wasn't his intelligence that he could say hypostasis without messing up. That's not what made David who he was. It was David's freedom that he exercised in his faith for God. It was walking out on that battlefield. Because let me tell you something. Had he not had God on his side, I'm not talking about stupidity tonight. And I told my wife I wasn't going to say this. But I got an email, and I don't know if it's true or not, but I got an email. Some of you may have gotten it. It said some character over in Africa or somewhere, across the world somewhere, was a pastor of a little flock of people or something. And he was preaching about faith. You got to have faith and all that stuff. He said, I'm tired of talking about it. I'm going to do it. He said, I could have faith like Peter, and I could walk on the water. And he did, and he drowned. That, I'm not talking about that kind of faith tonight. That's stupid faith. That's stupidity. I'm not talking about clicking your heels. Oh, I did that pretty good. Clicking your heels together. I've seen Brother Sutton do that so much. I could do that. But faith is not believing that you can walk on water. And believing that God's going to drop a Cadillac in your driveway and a mansion on the hill and $1 million in the bank. He may do that and you may get that and that's great, but that's not faith. Hallelujah. Before you ever get to that point, you've got to exercise your freedom of faith. That means when you don't have a dollar to your name, you need to praise Him. When all you got's a jalopy to drive, you need to give Him praise and give Him thanks and act like you got $1 million. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord again right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But the faith that David had, it wasn't about David. It wasn't about David setting a record. It wasn't about David making a name for himself, although it happened on the flip side of it. But David wasn't out to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. When I get through with it, he's looking at his buddy over there like this. When I get through, they're going to be singing, David has killed his, Saul has killed his thousands and David his ten. He's like, they're going to do that for me. I'm going to be popular. I'm going to ride on a horse. They're going to shout. The women's going to come out and dance and sing. David didn't do that. He wasn't thinking about getting his name up in lights. He wasn't thinking about getting a pat on the back. He wasn't thinking about all that. What he was thinking about was, is there a cause? There's a giant in my way, and I'm going to get him out of my way. I'm going to exercise my freedom of faith, and I'm going to do something. Somebody say, do something. Hallelujah. He said, I'm going to do it. Somebody say, I'll do it. And the musicians can be making their way. David said, I'll do it. I wonder who will say tonight, in faith, I'll do it. I'm not about to sit down on God. I'll do it. I'll be at prayer. I'll teach a Bible study. I'll be faithful to church. I'll be a worship leader. I'll be a witness. I'll invite somebody to church. I'll come into the house of God with praise on my heart, thanksgiving in my life and my spirit, and I'll do my best to create an atmosphere in the service where God can touch somebody, where God can heal somebody, where God can fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. I'll be an instrument of faith for you, Lord. I'll be sensitive to what you want. And I'll be ready to do whatever you want. Pastor, I'll be ready to do whatever you want. Sister Erica, I'll even volunteer for nursery duty. That's faith. Well, you had the spirit before, but now you killed it. It's not about you. You got a bunch of babies coming. Sister Erica, I didn't talk to her before church tonight. I kind of got an inside scoop on this nursery thing. There's some babies coming along. And God needs some volunteers to say, I'll do it. I'll take my turn so that Mama can have a peaceful time in service. I'll take my turn so the visitor can walk in and be able to worship God without trying to scramble with a baby or a small child. You say, well, Brother Freeman, that's not real spiritual. You know, I want to come into service and I want to speak in tongues and I want to prophesy and I want to heal somebody. You've never worked in the nursery. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Somebody needs to say tonight, I'll do it. I'm not talking about freedom of speech. I'm not talking about going and picketing Congress and the White House or whatever they do out there. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. I just want to say I'll do it. I want to exercise my freedom of faith. Remember, faith without works is dead. The Bible said, the just shall live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not something you pick up when you walk in the door for church and we do our little thing and then we lay it down when we walk out the door. Faith is a lifestyle. It's who you are. Whatever I'm asked to do in the kingdom of God, I'll do it. Faith is not standing there, David, and looking at the problem and doing nothing. It's not faith. What faith is seeing what needs to be done and do it. That's what faith is. I want to tell God, I really don't know why. I don't know anybody's business here tonight. In fact, I love this church so much. Brother Cedric, when we left here 6 months ago, I told my wife, I said, place. Said, I was here almost 12 years, 11 years or whatever, and I don't know your problems. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know your hang-ups. I don't know what you're going through. That's what I love about this church. Brother Cliff, nobody ever come to me and start trying to tell me something about you. For two reasons, I think. One reason is they knew I wouldn't listen. And the other reason, what was the other reason? They knew better. And I said, that's what I like about church. That you can come and If you got a problem, God will take care of it. God will tell the man of God what to preach. There's been times that Brother Sutton has preached a sermon or taught a lesson that was just for me, something I needed to hear, something I needed to get a hold of. And God was so gracious that He spoke to my heart. It's what I love about this place. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know this. God wants to, and I have believed this every day that I was in this church. God wants to take this church places that you have never, ever been. Amen. We've been listening online for the last several months, and we've heard Brother Godwin and Brother Hood and all these preachers, Brother Clark, coming in here and preaching. God wants to do something. But God wants you to exercise your freedom of faith. It's going to take somebody getting on board. It's not going to happen when we set off on the side. But it's going to happen when we get involved right in the middle of what God wants to do. And I know the majority of this church does. Don't get me wrong. Amen. I'm not telling you they're not doing it, but somebody here tonight needs to hear what I'm saying, because you've backed down and you've backed away and you moved back. Amen. But you need to find your place right in the middle, up front, in God's kingdom. And you need to stand up and say again, I'll do it. I'll do it. It's not time to give up or throw away or put it aside. Whatever you do for God, I don't care what it is, it'll last. I said yes when I was asked to clean the church. I said yes when I was asked to mow the grass. I said yes when I was asked to play the drums. I said yes when I was asked to teach Sunday school. I said yes when I was asked to teach a Bible study. I said yes when I was asked to head up Saturday morning visitation. I said yes when I was asked to get behind the wheel of a bus and pick up 40 some odd kids, bring them to the house of God. Wasn't always easy, but I said yes. I said yes when I was asked to lead singing. Can you believe it? Me? I didn't have the heart to tell him, you know, I'm not real keen on this singing business. Some of you may remember some of that over there. Sister Bonnie wasn't there. Brother Greg and Brother Mike and Brother Sutton looked at me like, but I said yes. I said yes when I was asked to preach. I said yes when I was asked to play the bass. I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying this for yours tonight. Brother Dustin, I was asked, when I was asked to build a website. I said yes when I was asked to be a tribe leader. Didn't hesitate. I just said yes. If that's what you want, yes. That's what I'm here for. Whatever you want, that's what I want. Would you lift your hands? Feel the Holy Ghost. And I said yes when I was asked to start a church to reach a lost city. I said yes. Whether it was cleaning a toilet or preaching in a pulpit, I said yes. It didn't matter to me what it was. I just wanted to work for God. I wanted to do something for God. Somebody needs to hear this tonight. If you don't need to hear it, please pray for somebody else that needs to hear it. If you've got it all together, God bless you. But somebody here doesn't have it all together. I want to exercise my freedom of faith. And I want to say yes to God. You see, before David could ever be a king, he had to be a shepherd. He had to be somebody on the backside of the 40 somewhere by himself with his harp and putting it all he had. I don't know how. Whenever you say yes, God makes a way. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Who'll be the chosen tonight? Who'll be the chosen tonight? But you don't understand, preacher. I can't. I don't. It's this, that. You don't understand my life. You don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand what's happening. You don't know my family. You don't know my job. You don't know my home. You don't know my life. No, I don't. Faith looks at potential, but unbelief only sees the obstacles. It only sees why you can't do it or why you can't be. Would you lift your hands in loving tonight? Hilo mokoria santa la la maha santa. Hallelujah. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that wants to exercise their freedom of faith. And if you just want to recommit and say, God, whatever, Lord, whatever, God, you want me to do, whatever you want me to be, I want to see the kingdom of God prosper. I preached here 2 weeks ago. God's going to do it. It's going to happen. God's going to use somebody. But I want him to use me. Would you sing, Sister Bonnie? Hallelujah. God's not looking to force anybody. What are you willing to give God tonight? What are you willing to do tonight? Are you trying to hang on to the few little trinkets and doodads that the world has to offer to trade a walk with God like you've never had before?
I will give you all.
Hallelujah.
I will give you all.
Lord, I'm going to stand for you, Jesus. Let this world go by, but I'm going to stand for you.